From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. And on this day, the panel that's responsible for making legalized marijuana work in Maine gets down to business. And uncertainty about the future of the Affordable Care Act has psychological impacts on some Mainers. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, President Donald Trump, as we've heard, has signed an executive order to start rolling back a clean water rule finalized in 2015. It's intended to limit pollution in rivers, streams, and wetlands. The rule took years to put in place, and as Susan Sharon reports, it involved extensive public and stakeholder input.
The rule was established under the Clean Water Act after two Supreme Court rulings created confusion about protection for streams and wetlands and left hundreds of pollution enforcement cases hanging. The rule was intended to provide clarity about which waters are protected. Supporters like the National Wildlife Federation and the Isaac Walton League say it was based on the best available science and on more than a million comments from stakeholders and the public. But the oil and gas industry and farming groups objected. The rule has been tied up in the courts ever since. Now the Environmental Protection Agency is being directed to rewrite it. And Jeff Reardon of the Maine Council of Trout Unlimited says that's a setback.
I mean, we just see this as moving backwards. As a kid who grew up, I'm just about to turn 50, so I don't remember the worst of it in the 60s, but I remember the no swimming signs up and down Maine rivers in the 70s and have seen the changes. And we don't want to start the ball rolling back downhill. That's just not the direction we ought to be going in.
Reardon says depending on the watershed, at least 13% of stream miles are affected in Maine. If they get degraded, not only could fish populations be lost downstream, but drinking water could also be affected. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Maine and other states that have legalized recreational marijuana are facing growing uncertainty after the Trump administration signaled that it may step up enforcement. In Augusta today, the panel responsible for implementing Maine's new marijuana law heard from people who will be directly affected by the legalization of recreational marijuana, including the state's business community. Mal Leary has more.
Committee co-chairman Senator Roger Cates, a Republican from Augusta, opened the crowded hearing by acknowledging the daunting task the panel faces in implementing the new law.
Details of licensing and oversight and public safety and public health and all the rest of the things that other states have already struggled with.
And there are many unanswered questions around how the fee and taxing scheme outlined in the Citizens Initiative will actually work. Some attending the hearing were seeking insight into how the state's medical marijuana system can be integrated with the regulations around recreational use. Several users of medical marijuana expressed fear that the program would be eliminated. But Paul McCarrier, president of Legalize Maine, one of the groups that supported passage of the marijuana referendum, says that is not the intent.
When we authored this initiative, gathered signatures, and were speaking to voters, we made it clear that legalization should not be used to dismantle the current medical marijuana program. This is one of the most controversial issues that I personally encountered.
And there was testimony from people like Elaine Graham, who are concerned about maintaining local control. Cities and towns can prohibit marijuana retail stores or smoking lounges under current law, and Graham asked the panel not to change that.
Freedom of speech will be honored in your implementation, and that anybody can have a petition effort to ban what they don't like. Actually, I wish the whole thing wasn't here.
But some aspects of local control are more complicated than they first appear. Jeff Herman of the Maine Municipal Association says the language in the voter-approved law is confusing in its definition of zoning of pot facilities and local licensing.
They're two separate things, and they're done by two separate groups at the local level. Land use regulation is done by the planning board. Licensing is typically done by the municipal officers or their designee. So those two concepts are sort of mushed together in here.
Maine's business community was also out in force to raise concerns about the potential effects of marijuana use or impairment in the workplace. The voter-approved legislation has protections against employers refusing to hire recreational marijuana users, but does not address issues about impairment in the workplace. Peter Gore is vice president of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce.
There is very little guidance for the employer around discipline, discharge, about impairment in the workplace and what they can and cannot do. What is the implication around workers' compensation?
Impairment is also an issue for law enforcement. Representative Matt Harrington, a Republican from Sanford, is a police officer when not serving in the legislature. He says he has seen an increase in drivers smoking marijuana, but says there is no simple test for pot impairment like there is for alcohol. But he says the state should mandate a training program that qualifies officers to recognize impairment.
This training program is only a few days, however, will provide officers with the ability to administer the lack of convergence test, which will help determine marijuana impairment.
The committee's been referred dozens of related bills which would affect the law in a wide variety of ways, from minor tweaks to outright repeal. Hearings get underway in March. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Short-term rental company Airbnb announced today that it will start collecting sales taxes directly from customers in April. As Fred Bever reports, that puts the company and its hosts in Maine on the same page as Governor Paul LePage.
Governor LePage says he wants to update the tax code to better account for the burgeoning short-term rental market in Maine. Airbnb now says it's voluntarily agreeing to automatically collect sales taxes on Maine rentals starting April 1. Andrew Kallick is a policy director for Airbnb.
This sort of streamlines the approach. So we're confident that we've done what the governor wanted us to get done, which is, in effect, to tax our community and have this done without an administrative burden.
Airbnb announced last week that its hosts in Maine earned more than $26 million in 2016. If the sales taxes that apply to most rental lodging in the state had been collected on all those rentals, it would mean well more than $2 million for the state's treasury. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And finally today, as Congress deliberates the future of the Affordable Care Act, the issue is causing literal anxiety for some here in Maine. As Patty White reports, some therapists say they are seeing a spike in patients with significant fears about losing their health care coverage.
It was the middle of the night, election night, when Ruth Dean woke up to check the results. They weren't what she expected.
When I saw that it was Trump, I burst into tears, and I started saying things like, oh no, what's going to happen with our health care?
Before the Affordable Care Act, Dean spent the better part of 7 years without insurance. She and her husband run a guitar-making business in South Portland. Whenever she shopped for insurance plans, she says they were unaffordable.
The cheapest plan I could get for our family of five was $1,500 a month. With a $15,000 deductible. It was more than our mortgage. It was more than sending our kid to college, more than our groceries.
But with an ACA Marketplace plan, Dean now pays around $120 a month to cover most of the family. Her two younger children are on Maine Care. Insurance coverage brought peace of mind for Dean, but she says that's evaporated as President Trump and congressional Republicans plan to dismantle the law. And she worries constantly.
Oh, every day. Every day in the news, we just don't know if what Trump is going to do. We don't know if we're going to be without health care tomorrow.
Dean hasn't sought professional help to address her fear, but others have.
Over the past 10 years or so, I have seen this slow increase in anxiety related to health care, access to it, and ability to afford it.
Amy Davenport is a licensed professional counselor in Bangor.
But I must say that this year, I have seen a spike in anxiety related to having access to health care and or ability to pay.
Davenport says out of her caseload of about 40 people, around 65% have anxiety about losing health coverage. Another Bangor counselor, Dr. Christopher Garrison, has noticed a similar spike in about half of his patients.
They started to come forward with these anxiety, I would say, right after the election had occurred.
Garrison says the fear spreads across patients with ACA marketplace plans, to those with employer-based plans that have rising premiums, to patients covered by federal programs.
And they're very concerned that even Medicare or Medicaid, that those programs will be cut.
Dr. Jeff Matranga, a psychologist in Waterville, says anxiety about access to health care has been around for a while.
In my observations in the last couple of years with the Affordable Care Act, that's gotten better. And now with the prospect of it being taken away and what will be replaced with, I do hear some comments about that.
Matranga says his patients express fears about President Donald Trump that go beyond health care, from scientists concerned that valid data will become politicized or obscured, to people dismayed that voters overlooked Trump's faults and sent him to the White House. In nearly 30 years of practice, says Matranga,
I've never seen this kind of a reaction to a presidential election.
It's a reaction that appears to bear out nationally. The American Psychological Association conducts an annual Stress in America survey. Over the past decade, says the association's Dr. Lynn Bufka, stress has declined. But in its most recent survey in January, Bufka says there was a statistically significant increase in stress. Two-thirds of Americans, both Democrats and Republicans, reported stress about the future of the nation.
And that was the first time we had a statistically significant increase.
Bufka says the source of anxiety typically is uncertainty. To cope, she says, it's important to think through options and prepare. And Bangor counselor Amy Davenport says therapists may need to follow their own advice.
As private practitioners, we're self-employed. So as providers, as anybody does self-employed, we're all worried about our access to health care and costs and what that's going to mean for our clients, for ourselves. So it's almost like we have double the stress on our shoulders.
Uncertainty is likely to build as congressional lawmakers face growing pressure to reach consensus on the fate of the Affordable Care Act and the next generation of health care policy in the Trump era. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Tuesday, February 28th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.